Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We'll talk some Patriots football next hour with Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. But we got to give a little love to the Celtics in their season opener last night at the Garden against the Philadelphia 76ers. As we mentioned earlier, they got a pretty nice, impressive win last night at home without really getting much of a contribution from Kyrie Irving.
No, not at all. And he shot poorly. Really, the team, for the most part, shot poorly. It kind of felt like an opening night type of game, but the defense was good. That was one thing that Brad Stevens was really mad about in the preseason.
It was bad.
They were really mad about that, but they did a great job. I mean, opening night or not, you hold the Sixers under 90 points, and when you play at the pace that they do, that is really impressive. But yeah, Irving just 2 of 14, 1 of 8 from 3, finishes with 7 points. But that's the amazing thing about this team is they're so deep, whether it's the whole starting five. They really felt comfortable with 4 of the guys off the bench. You notice that 9 guys played between 19 and 29, or I guess 30 minutes. That's probably what you're going to see. And we know Gordon Hayward's on a minutes restriction. He's going to play about 25 a night. It's funny, he played exactly 25. Like sometimes they get a little give or take. Nope. He's going to play 25 minutes, and we're going to stick to that on the nose. But Terry Rozier played well off the bench. Marcus Morris played well off the bench. And Jason Tatum continued his scoring right from the playoffs from a year ago, brought that in game one. So they can get away with nights where either Irving doesn't have it or maybe even, you know, Brown or whoever, because they're just so deep. Their starting lineup isn't as good as the Warriors, but 1 through 9, I think, is better.
Not a great night for Joel Embiid either.
No. No, I'll tell you what, against the 76ers, I think they're not there yet. Talk about Philly. And everybody wants this to be the Eastern Conference Finals preview. And these guys, they were rivals. They're rivals again. There's great young players over there. And Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are great. Like, I think they're both great players. Simmons was awful in the playoffs last year. He still can't shoot, doesn't shoot threes at all. Joel Embiid, you know, the stats were good. He finished 23-10. But overall, it was not a dominant performance by any means.
And from the Celtics' perspective, they'll play better than this. Shoot better than this. They'll play better than this. But it was a nice way to start the season. You get a home win. As we mentioned yesterday, I think they play 9 of their first 13 games away from home.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, there's a chance they could, you know, get off to a slow start. Last year, obviously, different circumstances. But Hayward goes down. They lose 2 games to start. Then they win 16 straight. And that whole time, Brad Stevens was saying, oh, we're not as good as our record is.
We're not playing that great.
So, I mean, he's the right guy to have this team. And we talked about it with Chris Forsberg yesterday. The expectations for the first time are you make the finals or it's a failure of a season. They've never had that. I mean, his second year in the league, if you make the playoffs, that was a shock. Now it's you have to make it to the NBA Finals. The other big takeaway from last night was Gordon Hayward looks like a guy coming off of a horrific injury.
And I really expected,
I don't blame him.
You know, I really
no, I
expected
don't.
It was going to take a little bit to kind of work back into it. His minutes, frankly, were more than I expected.
Yeah, right on the nose.
24, something like that.
Yeah, 25 on the button, I think.
Kyrie Irving in the huddle for the Boston Celtics, his new team.
Young player trying to spread his wings. That was some of the talk he wanted to be part of, is creating his own legacy. What better way with this young team? This is the guy that probably hit the biggest shot in Cavs history.
They're going up. Oh, my goodness. Hayward came down so hard. Okay. Hayward broke his leg.
Now I'm mad at it.
Rossi, why don't you just replay the whole game? What on earth was that cut? You got him breaking the huddle there? Is that necessary?
I mean,
but setting up the whole scene.
But that was scary, though, Dale, for me. Listening to
Kevin Harlan
call
the
game. I'm like,
the
last time he did an opener was the Celtics just last season, and he had that call of him breaking his leg. So, yeah, I thought he was pretty tentative last night. But, again, it's October 17th. He played in some preseason games. But, you know, this is for real. So it's going to take some time. But I think everybody expected that. The other part is I'm really glad he started. Like there was.
Well, you had to start him. You had to give him that opportunity.
I'm glad they did give the fans a chance.
And,
but I think all five of those guys, that should be the starting lineup. And everyone's like, oh, well, you know, get one of those guys off the bench and they can lead the team. They can lead the bench scoring. They got some bench scoring. You know, Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris, there's not a shot that Marcus Morris doesn't want to take. And Terry Rozier is aggressive offensively. Plus, you're going to be blending guys all the time. Those are your five best players. Those are the five guys that should start. And more often than not, end game. Like a close game in the fourth quarter, that's probably the five I want on the floor. And I think it would have been weird to not start Gordon Hayward for a couple of weeks and then make that switch later on, and then somebody's got to sit out. So I thought that was good. But yeah, I'm pretty impressed. I mean, Irving and Hayward combine for 17 points, and you still beat the Sixers kind of going away. So, that, I mean, that's really good to see.
Good way to start the season for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, kind of get things going. As we said, Kyrie Irving's going to be better. I mean, Gordon Hayward's going to be a lot better.
Yeah.
He had 10 and 5 in 25 minutes. And it was, as you said, it was clearly a, you know, let's kind of just get the rust off a little bit. Let's get things rolling here. Let him get the big introduction in the hand from the fans at home.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be pretty emotional for him. And again, not the best game he has ever played by a long stretch, but just great to be back on the court. And this was him after the game.
Gordon, we talked about the visualization of this moment. How did the reality compare to the visualization?
Man, it was so good to be out there. Such a blessing that I was able to play basketball again. And so the first 2 minutes, I was super gassed, had so much adrenaline going, but just a blessing.
He was Ultimate Warrior at the beginning, Dale. He got a little
blowed up.
He blowed himself up there just a little bit.
Just
he was so
running
excited.
Down to the ring.
But it's got to be, I mean, on your mind. And, you know, guys can get over. I mean, it's a horrific, horrific injury.
Ugh.
But Paul George has bounced back, and he's an all-star, and he's been able to do it. And I really think Gordon Hayward's going to be able to do it. But I didn't expect him to go, you know, 20 points, you know, 8 rebounds last night. Didn't expect that. But, yeah, a good win. The Sixers are one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, and they handled them pretty good, especially in the second half.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I was all baseball except during commercials.
Yeah.
Tried to catch some Celtics during commercials.
Well, you were hoping that they weren't going to overlap too much, and they clearly did.
Right? We were probably being unrealistic.
No, I know.
Weren't we?
But it was an 8:05 start or whatever for the Celtics and a 5:09 start. So, I mean, I guess it was unlikely, but they overlapped way too long. And you knew it. The first inning took 45 minutes. You're like, all right, Celtics tip off. We may not be around for that.
Celtics next game is Friday night in Toronto.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee
might be better than Philly. But two of the three or four top contenders in the Eastern Conference, you get them real early. I'm really curious to
see
what Toronto
looks like. And then they play at New York Saturday. Not one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. So.
But had Kyrie Irving not come out a couple of weeks ago and said he was coming back, there would have been all kinds of stuff. There would have been like, please. Actually, there's still going to be like all the fans are going to be chanting for Kyrie to change his mind.
617-779-7937. Jason is in Somerville. Hey, Jason.
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
Doing well. It's actually Jake, but I got a bad voice. It's probably my fault.
That's all right. What do you got, Jay?
So, yeah, I mean, just to shed some more light on it, obviously, for the casual fan, people know the game of basketball, but there's so much more to it than just dribbling and shooting a basketball. And Gordon Hayward's ability to defend the floor was actually a really nice surprise last night. The amount of space that he can consume, you know, just training to play, you get 4 steals, and the way that rolls into their offensive game, he's going to find his space. He's going to find his rhythm. But people just need to realize how good he actually is.
Yeah, he's really, I mean, he's solid. And that sort of allows you, because you look at it and you're saying, well, they basically have 3 small forwards in the starting lineup. But again, positionless basketball, Dale, that has sort of taken over the league.
I like that idea.
I think
it's
fine.
Kind of, who cares? We have to have a 5, and then we need a 3.
No, as long as you can match up, and that's sort of the caller's point, is, you know, Horford can guard a few different spots. Hayward, because he's strong. Like, he's a guy that's put on a lot of weight since his rookie year. Like, he's put on a lot of muscles, so he can contend with those guys. And I know he's listed at 6'8", but he looks even bigger on the floor at times. Like, for a guy... Like that. Remember the picture they had, like the starting five that was like everybody's getting excited about. I'm not calling them the Newport Five, but that picture.
No,
Hayward and Horford.
Forsberg used it last night again.
Hayward and Horford are seem like the same height.
Yeah,
and you just assume one is significantly bigger than the other. But yeah, Hayward defensively is definitely good, and that gets overlooked at times.
Peter's in Jamaica Plain. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guy. A lot of guys have mentioned what Charles Barkley mentioned. I love this team, by the way.
Yeah, what's not to love?
Huh?
What's not to love?
They're awesome.
Right.
But I think Gordon Hayward would really fill a role like the Kevin McHale role, coming up the bench and to kind of lead the second unit. They need another playmaker. They need another scorer. You know, he could almost be a point forward. And then you do get more shots for Jaylen Brown, Tatum, you know, and Gordon Hayward and Rozier. So I think Gordon Hayward coming off the bench and almost being the leader of the second unit like Kevin McHale, you know, Brad Stevens is going to make different lineups from game to game. But I like that Aaron Baines.
Yeah, we know the guys. I completely disagree. I'm going with my best guys. I'm putting all those guys out there, and they all had shots.
It's going to be fluid anyway. It's going to change. You know, it's not like, these are my starters.
Why not?
These five. I've been saying he's going to change it up from time to time.
I mean, based on injury, you're going to have to, but I would start these five. Like, they're fine. And again, it's not like the bench unit, like, they only play together. Like, that's what people make it sound like. Like, oh, here, he's going to come lead the bench unit. Like, all right, five new guys in. Now we need a guy out there. Think about it, especially with Gordon Hayward on a minutes restriction, Kyrie Irving coming off of an injury, you're going to have a lot of times where first quarter, here comes Rozier, Smart, and, you know, maybe Morris, and two or three of the starters are going to stay on the floor. So you're going to have a lot of overlap. I just want those guys. You can overwhelm the opposing team when you have all those scoring options. Al Horford's going to sacrifice his scoring, which I'm sure he's thrilled to do. And the other guys are going to put up plenty of shots. Brown, Hayward, Tatum, Irving, Morris, and Rozier all had double-digit shot attempts.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, you don't have to give up too much. They're going to score in the hundreds every single night.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
And the 1-1 to JBJ. Swinging a high drive to right field. Reddick going back to the warning track. This ball is going, and it is gone! A grand slam for Jackie Bradley Jr. And the Red Sox have broken it open. They lead it 8-2. Can you believe it?
I know you got to be careful and everything, and Joe was obviously being cautious.
Yeah.
He didn't want to pull a John Sterling and have it caught in the outfield or something. But I swear, from the minute he swung the bat, I thought that was gone.
There. I thought it was gone, too.
And the same thing with the Pierce home run. The minute he swung the bat, if it stays fair, well, it's long gone.
I was worried that it was going to go foul, but he's kept it in there. Huge hit, couple of big hits. And I'll tell you, I know they had the lead. They already had the lead when Bradley hit the grand slam. But knowing that Kimbrel was going to have to get some big outs with maybe a one or two or two-run lead, I was like,
you didn't even have to use him.
Didn't have to use him. Didn't have to worry about it. Didn't have to sweat out the ninth inning.
But he's available tonight.
He's going to pitch tonight. I mean, you would have to imagine.
Stephen Wright, Nathan Eovaldi, and Ryan Brazier.
Those are my top. That was my power rankings, and I stand by that. Going into the playoffs, those were the three pitchers I felt the best about. Pretty smart, if you ask me.
If Sale cannot go tomorrow,
ugh.
I mean, I hate it's got to be one of those, you know, those starter games. You know, he's going to be the starter.
Oh, the opener.
The opener.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be one of those opener games. My guess is.
What about Rodriguez?
It would almost have to be Rodriguez, right?
It would have to be. He's the only other
through
guy.
Through last night.
He's the only other guy that you could hope to get multiple innings out of.
You can't pitch Price. It would be on short rest if he pitched Thursday. I'm not pitching him on short rest. I mean, I don't know how comfortable we all are with him pitching on, you know, regular rest or even an extra day, but
you want a guy that has a shoulder and a stomach issue that we know of, maybe other things.
Was
throwing 90 in game one. Do you want him to go or do you want Rodriguez to go? I think I'd probably still want Sale.
Well,
if
they say today, look, he can't go.
Ugh.
And that's entirely possible. My gut feeling is he's going to tell them, I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go. And
that's what he's going
to
say.
He's going to try to put up, even our performance, it wasn't great, obviously. Walked a bunch of guys, hit a guy. But if, I mean, this is because we know he's not 100%. If he gave you four innings and two runs, you'd take it right now. Again, not ideal.
Yeah.
Not what you were looking for with Chris Sale. You thought he was going to be a more dominant weapon for you in the postseason, but if he can at least get you into the middle innings rather than doing the stupid opener bit, and then now you got eight relievers all having to pitch in the game, nine relievers maybe, that's just too much.
Joe's in New Bedford. Hey, Joe.
Fellas, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Well, I got to tell you, you guys kind of stole my thunder, but not quite.
I'm going to
elaborate on what you're talking about. I think that it's actually kind of obvious that you should start E-Rod, and I'm going to tell you based on history.
Well, wait. In which game? You're talking about if Chris Sale can't go or even if he can go?
Even if he can, but not that he shouldn't if he can, but just hear me out. Okay. Based on history and current production, we all agree that David Price is a better postseason pitcher out of the bullpen, correct?
David Price has been better out of the bullpen, correct.
Okay, and he's not ready to go, obviously, on short rest.
No, why he's your game six.
Why? Hear me out. Why not have E-Rod go game five?
Based on what?
No.
I'm just wondering what you're basing it on.
That's history and current production. Let me finish. You have E-Rod start game five. You have David Price, who has a better history out of the bullpen, come in relief as your long reliever, and then you try to patch it together to get the win. Sale gets an extra bit of rest, comes in game seven, and then Eovaldi.
Wait, who's pitching game six then? Who's pitching game six?
Sale. And then Eovaldi, who seems to be the savior.
Wait, so you're skipping Sale in five so he can pitch six?
I say that you give him the extra rest. Oh. Did you not have a shoulder issue? Did you not have all these issues?
I don't know if it's going to matter, to be honest. I think he's
about it, though.
I'm thinking about it. I don't want to start Eduardo Rodriguez if I don't have to.
Yeah, for some reason, Rodriguez. Some folks are all cranked up about he was talking about, well, his past production and current production. What?
Eduardo Rodriguez
pitched the ninth inning last night?
He's never started a playoff game. Small sample, but even with the scoreless inning last night, his playoff ERA is 12.27. Small sample. No starts in there. But, no, if Chris Sale can go, if 50% Chris Sale can go, I'll give it a shot. And if Rodriguez has to pitch a couple innings out of relief, fine. But I would at least try to see if I can get four innings out of Chris Sale. Now, I wonder if
my gut feeling is that's what he's going to tell them today. He's going to say, I can go. Now, yeah. I hope he doesn't say that because that's his mentality. Of course I can go, and he really can't. Now, I hope he doesn't.
Now, do you think it would affect Cora's decision-making if you're up 3-1 or if it's 2-2? Because the result tonight.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, I don't know.
If Porcello were to get the win tonight.
Right.
If that happens. Maybe he does push Sale back to Sunday, Saturday.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a decision to be made there. And it's funny, at one point it felt like they had a million starters, and then now it feels like they have Eovaldi. Now you're like, well, who else do you got? Well, Porcello has a chance to be. I mean, he was good last series. He's been good out of the bullpen. So maybe Porcello will have another good start tonight. And then in a bizarre way, Eovaldi, Porcello become your two best guys. Then Sale's health and Price's history become big question marks going forward.
Rick's in Utah. Hey, Rick.
Hey, what up, Rick?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Sound great.
Hey, so I was curious of what your guys' thoughts were. I was really hoping that Bregman would get up to bat with no one on base so Eovaldi could put one right in his back for that video.
I don't think he cared enough to drill him, do you?
I think it looks better if you strike him out because then you could
post. Which he also didn't do. But.
He did not. But okay. I'm saying, but you could post that video. That's a better video to post later on than him getting drilled, but because, you know, you put him on base and whatever else. But so you wanted, you know, vigilante justice. You wanted him to.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you get the sense, Rick, that Eovaldi thought it was as big a deal as maybe you and I did?
I think he played it off pretty well. I think everybody told him about it, and that he just the first inning he was throwing 101. He just looked like he was pissed, and he was ready to prove a point.
I agree. I wonder if that had a little something to do with him throwing 101.
Getting all cranked up.
Yeah, because against the Yankees, he was throwing hard, but it was more 98-99, I feel like. This was more. I mean, he had 100 in the Yankee game, too, but this was consistent 100-101.
They keep talking. Steve Pierce was more vocal about it than most, you know. We'll do our talking after. You know, I think it did motivate him,
as
you said.
Yeah.
I think it bothered him.
Yeah.
I think he felt slighted by Bregman. They had the one piece of video they showed in the pregame show last night of Pierce and Bregman talking in the outfield together. And that looked very collegial, it was fine. But
yeah.
you wonder what that conversation was about because
I don't know.
Pierce was one of the few people who had flat out said that it pissed him off that Bregman had done it.
Yeah, it did. It bothered him. And Pierce got the last laugh, at least in game three, you know, hitting the home run. Bregman, meanwhile, is awesome. Like, he is, like, you can, if you want to hate him, that's fine, but he is an awesome, awesome player. Defensively, he made a ton of great plays. Then he gets on base three more times. So his on-base percentage, Dale, was 700 going into the game for the series. It went up. His on-base percentage is 714. He walked, because he always walks, and then he had two more hits. I mean, they kept him in the ballpark. But
you
got to
give him credit for being patient.
I mean, know. I don't know how you don't just go up there and get mad, because they never, it seems like they never start him off with a strike. So he's always ahead in the count, but he doesn't swing out of the zone like a lot of the other guys on his team. So yeah, he's been great. He has not had a lot of help around him though.
617-779-7937. Dave's in Hopkinton. Hey, David.
Gentlemen.
Hey,
David. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You too. excuse me. I'm sorry. To clarify the play at the plate with Jackie Bradley Jr. the other night with Joe West and the umpires all confabbing.
Yes.
The umpire's utmost job is to get it right. And
yeah, but it's also a play that you're not supposed to be able to review.
Yeah, they also need to know what the rules are.
No, right. And I do believe that because there was doubt, I give the home plate umpire credit for conferring with his peers, and I give Joe West a lot of credit for getting it right. Now, whatever was said on the headphones, it could have been, hey, look, Joe, the guy fouled it off the batter while he was in the batter fouled it off himself while he was in the box. Joe West can just turn around and say, nope, for the integrity of the game, to get it right, in other words, bingo.
Well, you don't call the outfield umpires in, but do you think the four-man umpiring crew, the other three guys who came in, none of the three saw that the ball hit him?
It's kind of hard
to believe that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I can understand where the home plate umpire didn't see it.
I'm not talking about him. I understand.
No, the other guys.
Other three, somebody had to have seen it.
Well, I'm sure there was enough doubt that...
Reasonable doubt?
Reasonable doubt that they raised the question. And Joe West being the crew chief, am I right in assuming that?
Yes, he is.
Okay, Joe West is his ultimate authority that says, let's get this right. Rule number one of the umpires, as soon as we say play ball, we're the authority. And as I said, whoever was on the other end of the headphones may have just verified it. Yeah, that's the play.
Yeah, but they took so long.
They probably didn't realize that, we can't, they wanted to get a rules clarification, I'm sure. And as an umpire myself, I appreciate the diligence that the umpires went through to get it right.
It worked out okay for the Red Sox, and as it turned out, he made an out on the next pitch anyway. I think it was. So it was not that big a deal.
No.
But the rule states specifically, and it's why AJ Hinch was upset. The rule states specifically you can't review that. So he calls the guys in like he's supposed to, give them all the credit in the world. I even say, I understand if he couldn't see it. That's fine.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing none of the other three saw the ball clearly hit him in the arm as he stood in the box.
That was a rare case where both managers were like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
They're like, just get this thing over with. And so that was
odd. Then they try to cover it up. Well, no, he wasn't calling for a review because that's not allowed. He was asking for a rules clarification
of the rules,
which you'd think the umpire should know anyway, and especially the crew chief.
Yes, they should absolutely know.
Who's only been an umpire for like 105 years.
That's the whole point. He sure has. Although he came back last night and
he was great last night.
He got everything right.
We mentioned this earlier, one of these websites that does, the breakdowns of every umpire in every game did a whole breakdown of his performance last night. And I'm telling you, he was unbelievable. And I thought that just as my eyes, you see the little box and you go, okay,
that was
outside.
It. Yeah, even like the close ones, you're like, yep.
So the final StatCast Pitch FX numbers. Joe West got 105 of 105 balls correct and 54 of 55 strikes correct.
That's unbelievable.
He got 159 of 160 pitches correct, according to PitchFX, which is a success rate of 99.4%. And the final number was +1 Boston. He favored Boston over Houston by one pitch.
All right. We'll take it.
It
was really good.
I gave him credit on Twitter last night. He was remarkable.
I was surprised. And now tonight.
Him, of all people.
Shocked. Tonight's probably going to be terrible. Whoever's back there tonight is going to be trash.
Probably not good.
back to...
What? What's the name of the show? Where's Dale?
Dale and Keith.
You do know that it's not the Rich Keith Show on
WEEI.
I try not to talk about the Astros anymore, but I mentioned to before his start in New York, it's kind of like the Charlie Morton story, you know, last year, that throughout his career, everybody talked about his stuff, and it just didn't happen, you know, and all of a sudden in October, Charlie did what he did, and, you know, it seems like Nate is in that train. Yeah, I don't mind that either.
Alex Cora, after last night's game, your pitching matchup tonight is Charlie Morton against Rick Porcello. And playoff Porcello's been really good, by the way. Really good. Whether it's a starting role or a relieving role. Relieving role, he's been unhittable practically. But as a starter, he's been good as well. I like the Red Sox pitching matchup tonight.
Yeah, I think they might have the advantage. Although, you know, regular season, Morton was better. You know, Morton had the better ERA. He was an all-star this year for the first time in his career. He's had some good playoff games. A little misleading. Cora saying, you know, he was saying how great Morton was in the postseason last year. He had good games. He was really good in the World Series. But in the ALCS, he got hit around, I think, at least in one of those starts. But anyway, yeah, this is one where Porcello has got a good thing going. And you'd have to imagine that the relief appearances, like those eighth inning spots, have got to give him even more motivation. So it's not just the good
and
start.
And confidence.
He had. Yeah, right, exactly. Or, yeah, that's what I meant. He's had the good start against the Yankees, which had to make him feel better. He had never been a part of a win before. Every time he had pitched with Detroit or the Red Sox when he got here, had always been in a losing effort. So for him to change that around and to get a win as a starter, to get, you know, wins as a member of the bullpen, that's a whole lot different. So he seems locked in. Like when he was pitching the eighth inning the other night, you felt pretty confident that he was going to have success.
At some point this afternoon, Chris Sale will throw his bullpen there in Houston. And, you know, I'm sure the media, who's probably already in the ballpark for crying out loud, they will breathlessly report, you know, here he is throwing long. Here he is in the bullpen. And when Cora steps before the media, and I think that's about five-ish, something like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of the first questions he's asked because he's supposed to be tomorrow's starting pitcher.
Yeah, but Cora doesn't have to make any announcements on that today either. Like, we'll see what he says because he's been very honest, but then there's also been a few times this year where he hasn't. And he even made the comment he wishes he didn't even say who was starting game two of this series. Remember how long we spent talking about David Price and was that the right decision? He made a comment about how, oh, I shouldn't even have said that to like before the game. So I wonder he'll
although
have
he
the
said
answer.
Last night, you know, he's going to throw today, and then we're right. gonna you know we're gonna see where he's at. And
so we'll see though. But I mean, to even for the Astros' sake, like if it's not going to be Chris Sale, like you're not gonna, I don't think he's gonna tell him that. We'll see. I mean, I don't know how straightforward he's gonna be now if they have to.
I wonder how honest Sale will be. See, I get
Sale's
the sense.
Tell him, I know exactly I get what
the,
Sale's
yeah,
say.
I get the sense that if his arm was hanging off, he'd say, "I can go. I'm good."
It might be hanging
because
off.
That's how he looked in the last start.
Yeah, it was not pretty. And so the same thing. I bet he says all the things that, you know, a healthy pitcher would say. But first inning, you're going to know whether or not he has it or not. I don't think we're going to see 98-99 again this season from Sale. But maybe you see 94. I'm not betting on that. But maybe you do 94-95 like you did game one against
the
Yankees. The
other day, it was 90.
Yeah.
And right off the bat, you're going, oh, no, this is not going to be good.
Not only is it 90, but he's walking guys. He's hitting guys. I mean, he only gave up one hit in that appearance. But he's
hard to believe, isn't it?
But a bunch of runners got on base.
617-779-7937. Arthur's in New Hampshire. Hey, Arthur.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, what's
How
up?
Are you?
So, you know, that JBJ hit, I think it not only took the wind out of the Astros crowd last night and possibly the Astros, I think what it might have done is fine-tuned our hitters, our number, you know, Martinez, Betts, because when you have a number nine guy hit a grand slam in a pivotal moment like that, maybe it loosens them up. So maybe, I know we talk a lot about the pitching, which by all means you have to. I can see us putting up seven tonight. And I'll tell you what, if we get back to game five and the bats are going, I can see them closing it out with big bats, 10 plus runs.
I guess I would probably hold off until I know who's actually pitching for the Red Sox in game five. Because we just have no idea. The one thing, well, the only thing we know for
no,
sure.
No, but the run, you're talking about the runs, though, and I'm telling you.
We could have a shootout. And yeah. If we have a shootout in Fenway and with our team, I'll take our team any day.
Well, game five is down there.
Yeah, game five's there, but I mean,
that's right. They're doing
2-3-2. Yeah,
2-3-2. Yeah,
a closeout game. Well, even more if we can put seven up tonight there. I just think it's theirs for the taking, no matter what the pitcher is.
Well, what's funny is if you look at the two series, you know, so far, so it's been a total of seven games. If the Red Sox score more than two runs, they win. the two losses they had, they scored two. Other than that, they scored 5, 16, and 4 in the wins against the Yankees. And then the back-to-back games here, they put up a 7 and then an 8 spot.
The one thing that last night guaranteed is that there will be baseball at Fenway Park again.
That's right.
What we don't know is if it'll be Game 6 on Saturday night or Game 1 of the World Series, whenever it is.
November 2nd.
I don't remember the dates, but
yeah.
I think it was October 23rd, if I remember right.
Oh, is that right?
That was one of those dumb commercials that they're doing.
Oh, that makes sense. That'd be the Tuesday.
Where they're asking the computer, tell us when the World Series begins.
Those guys nuts. Oh, hey, Google, when did Minute Maid Park show up? Oh, the 2000. Like, who cares? It's awkward. Brian Anderson, who I don't think is great, they do put him in a tough spot. So they're like, hey, you're gonna ask, every time you come back from commercial, you're going to ask Google a question. Oh, my God. That's what we're doing now? Just bang it.
But it made the October 23rd thing stick in my head.
Yeah, I guess it's working.
It must
have worked. I know what they're talking about. I know what the product is.
I have Alexa at home, so I don't ask Google anything.
No, you don't ask Google anything.
I don't. You know,
keep your mouth shut,
Google. Don't you find you don't ask Alexa all that much either?
I don't ask
anybody anything.
I use
Alexa to play music at my house.
Yeah, that's about it.
My wife recently said, we should get one of those. I said, why? Like, what is the purpose of it?
I'd rather have, like, an actual robot. Like, I don't need, like, something that just sits on the wall. Like,
do you want
me,
a quadruped, or do you want something that can stand up?
No, like Johnny Five from Short Circuit.
Oh, that's
I want him around
want
the house, yeah. Mix a drink for me, do whatever it
takes. Your wife probably wouldn't be too creeped out by that.
I think she'd come around on it. I don't think she would like it at first. Yeah, maybe not.
I don't even know her, and I don't think she would.
Yeah, maybe not.
617.
Yeah, there he is. There he is, Johnny. I need a Long Island iced tea, if you could. He goes up, comes back down, all
set. So you're like a bartender as well.
Well, I mean, that's part of his job.
Screech had one of those in Saved by the Bell.
Yes. It'd be better than that guy. It'd be a lot better than that guy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.